Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. We're here on a Tuesday afternoon with MS Garvey and the Hootenanny All-Stars, a special stage preview of a performance piece that's coming out soon. So we'll just start off with introductions for everyone who's here. We've got a room full of musicians and talented people. So one at a time, just let me know who you are and what you're doing as part of this project.
I guess since I'm standing in front of a microphone, I'm MS Garvey. Nick?
I'm Nick. I'm the drummer. In this case, I'm doing just tambourine and shaker.
Bob Rokas.
I'm Bob Rokas. I'll be playing accordion and trombone.
I'm John Canoyer, and I'll be playing the guitar.
Tomas, I'll be playing guitar and charango.
And I'm Nico, I'll be playing bass.
Now, why don't we just, like, right off the top, Garvey, why don't you tell us where the impetus came to do this entire project? Did it start with just a spoken word piece and you added music to it, or did you always have this in mind?
I don't know if I had this in mind. I mean, it grew into this. It was, I got angry. I got angry, as probably most of us did, somewhere after 2000, after 9-1-1. And I started writing letters. I just started writing letters just to exercise that anger. Got stuck kind of at a open mic at O'Brien's Pub in Venice. I had set up a friend who was running the open mic with a musician that didn't show. And he came to me and he said, hey, you know, your guy's not here. Do you want to do anything? And I said, well, I do have these letters that I've been writing to the president. Why don't I do a few of those? So I did them sans music, nothing, just out loud. And it was enough to make me think, huh, maybe an accordion would fit in there and a drum would fit in there. So I involved a couple of friends of mine that had played accordion, who's a friend of Bob's and a drummer, and it just kind of took off from there. John came along probably 2 years later, and we just, everybody else, it's an amazing story, really.
Now just to clarify, these are actual letters that you sent to the president. Like a lot of people say, you know, like writing a letter to Santa Claus, it doesn't actually go anywhere. It just sort of, you know, makes you feel good about yourself. But you actually sent these to the White House.
I sent these to the White House, or I think they're going to the White House. Maybe they're going to the North Pole for all I know.
They're going to your FBI file at any rate.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they may not. I got one response. I said, I got to try to get something. The first one, it wasn't so angry as, like, you know, he said so much during his campaign, what would Jesus do?
Right.
And this stuck with me, and I thought, what would Jesus do? I don't think he would be doing what you're doing, Mr. President. And so I wrote something along the lines, you know, what do you think Jesus would do with Iraq? And then I said, no, they're not going to respond to anything like that. So about the eighth letter, I wrote just a quick, hey, would you send me an autographed picture of yourself? Thank you. And they did. It came on March 22nd, 2003, which was 2 days after, it was postmarked March 20th, which was the day we invaded.
Wow.
And to me, that's put me on a real letter-writing campaign. At that point, I said, I'm in. I'm convinced we are going the wrong direction with this guy.
And truly ironic that he had the time on that day to sign autographs and
exactly.
Send you a picture.
It looks like a stamp, but it's only him. There's no response like, hey, thank you for your interest, thank you for your concern. It's just,
right,
with best wishes, George W. Bush, and that smarmy little
smile. Which I'm sure was attached to all the bombs that were dropped that day as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Exactly. I thought that day probably thousands and thousands of pictures went out. I think, and that to me just said, it had echoes of fascism maybe.
Mm-hmm. You know? So you're kind of doing this balance of you know, art, comedy, and genuine political interest. Do you sometimes think about, you know, which of it is more important to you? I mean, to entertain or to, is there a message that you want to get across? Or
That's a great question. Of course, I want people to listen to the words because I think they're accessible, and I think they're in touch with feelings that maybe all of us are having. But the music helps accentuate in ways that I didn't think possible. And, the entertainment, I think it's obviously a tough thing. We've been talking about the things called letters to the president. And when you see letters to the president, it's like, okay, letters to the president's going to be here for 2 weeks. I probably would be like, I don't know if I really want to go see letters to the president. So there was something about it that had to make it even more accessible,
right,
to everybody, to what did the Reader in Chicago called it, a welcoming place for those that are downhearted about the whole thing. Maybe they don't feel like they know what to do about it, because I still don't know what I want to do about it and what I can do about it. I think it is a welcoming place. You can come in and hear it, and it's not really, it's political, but it's social, it's cultural, it's spiritual. And I think as angry as people might be, there's an overriding effect of this is okay, or this makes me feel good in these times. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not like so many political pieces can be kind of oppressive, you know, get it or you're a bad person.
Yes,
you know, you can't
exactly.
Also enjoy the message.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, well, I can sense the musicians in the room are just itching to strum their guitars and play their instruments.
Talking.
Yeah, and they probably heard enough of you talking.
Yeah.
So we'll do a live song. We come back, we'll talk about the details of where the show is taking place and that space and everything.
Great.
Like that. What are you going to play for us first?
The first one is a letter called Burnt Toast.
All right, whenever you're ready, this is M.S. Garvey's Letters to the President on killradio.org.
Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20502. April 12, 2007, George. Almost burned down the house when I left a piece of sunflower bread in the toaster to toast a little longer while I took a pee. Sunflower seeds ignite when they get too hot. Flames were shooting out of one slot of the toaster, just about to set the kitchen cabinet on fire. Its white paint already charred black, peeling, cracking, and smoking in the intense heat. And so it goes. Kurt Vonnegut's dead, and my pinky toe on my right foot, I'm not kidding around here, has disappeared. It's gone. And I felt its departure. It felt like a chunk of bread being pulled off the loaf, and now all I feel is its vacancy. That doesn't concern me. I can't stop thinking about my burning kitchen cabinets and how all I could see and think of in the moment of discovery was a burning face. All I could see was a burning face of a soldier, of a child, of an expectant mother. Thank God I didn't throw water on the flames. I just removed the fire from the face as fast as I could. I just removed the fire from the face as fast. I mean, I just removed the fire from the kitchen cabinet. All I could see was a face. A burning face. And I wondered how many faces this war has burned off. And if, with all due respect, Mr. President, if you can indeed call yourself Mr. President, I guess, for your reasons for war, if
you ever thought of these realities before the realities of installing democracy around the world? Really? Shouldn't we have it here first, Mr. Bush? Shouldn't we have it here first? Aren't we waiting still for it to happen here in the United States of America? Democracy? Isn't it clear to you yet that it hasn't happened here in the States, and maybe that's why the good war in Iraq and Afghanistan is such a sad, horrifying failure? Faces are on fire, George. Faces are on fire. And hell is no longer below. It's here on the surface of Earth and coming soon to a theater near you. No kidding. We love it. And it will be on the screen for years to come, if there are years to come. And so it goes. For the time being, the house stands. The toast is nothing but ash. And somewhere, Kurt Vonnegut's got my pinky toe. Run to the kitchen, the toast is on fire. Run to the kitchen, George, the toast is on fire. Run, run, run. Sincerely concerned, M.S. Garvey.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is M.S. Garvey, the Hootenanny All-Stars. That was incredible. You know what I was thinking while that was going on is, you know, it's kind of drawing on an old style of music. I kept thinking in my head, yeah, sing it, brother. Amen, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I, you know, looking around the room, I could see the musicians. They were feeling it. You know, there was a, you couldn't help but sway what was going on. And there's this sense of, like, the room being filled with smoke and the smell of scotch in the air, you know, that
perfect,
sort of thing.
Perfect.
So I can see how the music really goes with that's the words, true. You know?
Thank you, yes, yeah. It's, well, it's something we have a, it's not a problem by any means, but we have a tendency to just really want to start rocking it out. That was kind of a beautiful subdued version, which is perfect, but we get to this place where all of a sudden it's an energy and it's, we want to just go, go, go. But yeah, the old, I think the term John calls it is old-timey. Have an old-timey
feel. Yeah, old-timey, definitely. Yeah. Well, let's talk about where people can go see this.
People can go see this at the Venice Electric Lodge Theater. It's called just the Electric Lodge Theater in Venice. It's November 29th until December 9th. Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, 8 p.m., Sundays at 7.
And how'd you come across this particular venue?
We have wonderful producers behind us right now. they're standing here in the room, and... they found the venue for us.
It was quite a search that we had for the venue to find an appropriate spot, but this is a perfect match, actually. The Electric Lodge is a solar-powered facility.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it really fits well with, I think, the spirit of the letters and the spirit of looking forward. that this show also has.
Introduce yourself to the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just this disembodied voice speaking here. My name is Christine Hartman. Myself and my husband, Christian Glaw, we are Ice Hat Creative, and we are producing the show in conjunction with the wonderful Robert Berman Gallery in Santa Monica, California.
And how did you find yourself producing this incredible show?
We are old friends of John Krenoyer, who is on guitar today and also the music director of the Hootenanny All-Stars. I love saying that, Hootenanny All-Stars. And we've known him for a long time, and when we came out to California, that's how we met Garvey and also saw the show in one of its many incarnations at the gallery, and it moved us so much that we felt like we needed to produce it and have more people see it. It in so many ways with these issues, it's very easy to end up feeling hopeless and I can't do anything. And when we saw this, we thought, well, this is something we can do. And I will say that we're also passing that on to the audience. By everybody who comes and sees the show will receive an addressed stamped envelope to the White House with a piece
fantastic.
Of paper in it. And all they have to do is write their letter and send it off. So you can write it in crayon. Who cares? Just write your letter.
Some people will need more paper than others.
Might. You know, we'll only supply one sheet, but if you need more, feel free to use it. But
No sending perishables through the mail.
Right.
Please don't write it in anthrax.
And sort of finding the right venue for this act, was that a challenge at all? Was it an easy pitch when you went to the Electric Lodge? Or?
It was a very easy pitch. It certainly, I think, is in line with their philosophies. And it was a little bit of a challenge for schedules just in this area. There's just a lot going on, but we made it work, and quite frankly, the quality and the message of the show really helped make that work. So.
And is there any confusion as to what this is? Is it a play? Is it a musical performance? What do people think?
There's probably a little bit of confusion. You know, you can say it's not your traditional theater presentation. It's also not a traditional concert. It's also not really performance art. The phrase that I use, it's part old tent revival, part beat poetry slam, and part jam session.
And part Hootenanny.
And, of course, that goes without all
it's
Hootenanny
yeah.
all the time.
Excellent. Well, you guys ready to jump into another song?
I think so, fellas.
Ice Cream?
Yes.
What's this one called?
This one is called Ice Cream.
And I noticed that many of the musicians jumped around the room and switched instruments.
Yeah, they're...
Is that typical of the show? Do you guys sort of...
It will be. I don't think we'll have any musical chairs music during it, but that's an idea. But they are all wonderfully accomplished musicians, so it is part of the show. It's becoming a part of the show, and it's a nice element.
Whenever you're ready, this is M.S. Garvey's Letters to the President.
White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20502. Phone number 202-456-1414. Call anytime. Sometime this summer, 2007. Dear George, on a dare by the cats, I ate a pint of ice cream at midnight. Chocolate fudge brownie. That's not so bad, I guess, but it was enough to make me look at the back label for the caloric intake. 260 calories per serving. Servings per pint, 4.
At midnight, I ate 1,040 calories. 480 calories coming from fat. And this is the sound of food these days in my country. I'd bet around Baghdad the sound is an empty tin can. All the numbers add up to nothing. I'm up at 3:45 in the morning, fully clothed, thinking it's 12:30, hearing my neighbor's girlfriend have sex. Well, every now and then I hear him say something and ask, "That's it? That's it? Yeah? Yeah, that's it?" And oh, yes it was. Yes it was. It was. It was definitely it. I liked this. I found this very exciting. Both cats were very alert, tuned in like sights on rifles. They found this exciting too. It ended, alas, as it always does, but not before catching on at my neighbor next door. Good for him, I thought. He just turned 60 last week. I went to the refrigerator. I opened a beer and sat outside to have a smoke. And God bless, I could hear a powerful woman across the street getting just what she wanted. This could be the sound of peace. This could be the sound of peace. It beats bombs. God damn it, it beats bombs. It sure beats bombs, Bush. It beats bombs. What's wrong with you people? Must you always think in terms of servings per container, calories per ounce, dollars per share, barrels per dollar? Look around you. Look inside you. Look in the mirror night now and then. Sincerely concerned, concerned citizen, M.S. Garvey and the Hootenanny All-Stars.
Sad piece.
We try to offset it with the cats and the ice cream.
Yeah, it's have you found that your writing, that your letters have sort of evolved with time as sort of like in that last piece, Bush is feels more like a character, an unrequited lover or a long distance friend that has, why haven't you written me back kind of feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Well, I love the things that you're identifying with. Yeah, they've definitely changed. I think a lot of it was driven by anger, and that's moved on to confusion and hurt, I suppose. I think a lot about them, they're probably written from the 14-year-old in me, when I started to hear things in this country like you could write the President of the United States, and he would give you a sincere answer back, you know, to any problem or any concern that you had. And that's where this whole thing kind of came out of. I thought, I've got to challenge this idea. We were given so many ideas, I feel, through my education and growing up, even family ideas or family influence of we are always right and always on the good fight, in the good fight, and that your country would never do anything to hurt you or to hurt. It was always explained to me like your country sometimes has to do some things that you may not agree with and that are going to hurt some other people, but they are for the benefit of the world,
right.
The wealth of the world. Or
well, all the greatest tyrants have always had the noblest of intentions.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think the letters, they have morphed into maybe something a little bit more poetical and lyrical, and I think the band has a lot to do with that. It's hard now to sit down and write and not hear some of these sounds that you're hearing and feel that maybe the words come out of that even.
Mm-hmm.
It changed quite a bit from just like, wait a minute, you know, the very specifics. You're going to drop 3,000 bombs on this country in 48 hours and they haven't even fired a bullet at our country? I don't understand. Into maybe a little bit more ethereal and esoteric, maybe playing. I doubt he's reading these, but in mm-hmm. my mind, there's somebody there at the White House or at the office of the leader, the readers to the White House, the letters to the White House that is saying, man, this guy's got a point. And it's not always coming from a place of anger, but a place of sadness. I think we are entering into or have been in for a while a sadness in this country, and I don't know how it's going to right itself.
Well, and you know, in doing it this way, you very efficiently avoid the accusation of being anti-patriotic, because it's all coming from a place of loving your country and wanting it to be what you thought it was when you were a kid.
Absolutely.
That of noble intentions.
Absolutely.
And it's very easy whenever anybody, you know, criticizes the war in any way. It's, oh, well, why do you love terrorism?
Yeah.
Why do you want to make the baby exactly. Jesus cry?
Exactly. What,
you know, like, what's wrong with you that you have, you know, ideas
and
questions?
It's a great point. The thing that always struck me about the Support Our Troops bumper sticker is I want to scream at these vehicles and say, how? Tell me how to support the troops. And if you have an idea of how to support the troops that is viable and something more than a yellow ribbon bumper sticker on your SUV, mm-hmm. I will support the troops. And I do support the troops. I think, however, the best way to support the troops, obviously, is bring them home and use them as they're intended to be used. Defending the country.
Let's switch gears for a second. I want to ask about the music. Like, these songs aren't your traditional pop songs, but they're also not without any structure. I mean, it's not just a beat and a groove. I mean, it goes through many changes. And I see you guys kind of communicating with each other during the songs and say, okay, we're going to go into this movement, that movement. Tell me about the process of making music for M.S. Garvey's Letters. And just go ahead and grab a mic.
I think, well, that last one was the first time, I think only the second time we've ever played that piece ever. So that's why we were communicating more. But normally, I think we all come from different little musical niches and we come together and put our two cents in and it comes out really unique. And like I bring like little licks and sketches that I've always wanted to do in, and then, you know, we have three Argentinian musicians here that we've never, Gary and I have never played with that kind of group before, so they obviously are bringing, and they're Berkeley trained, and they're obviously bringing in something completely, you know, unique to us. So, and then, you know, I know that's the same for Bob too, so it's all just this perfect blend of
everybody has something to...
It's global. It's error, global blend. And I know Dustin feels the same way, who's not here, of Slings, who plays with us as well, but
and
has to punch the clock today. But I know he feels the same way, too.
Do you sort of listen to the letters first? Do you read the letters first? Or
not really. I mean we do a little bit. We have. Like.
I mean, you sort of get an idea of, like, okay, this particular letter is going to have this
like
emotion
we,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a...
Well, Garvey will tell us, you know, he will say... You know, this is, I'm feeling something more comedic or something more dark or whatever, and we'll just...
But it's never the same way I mean, it'll never be the same each take, even on the live stuff. I mean, we're improvising around sort of a set.
So somewhere in between a jam band and a composition.
Yeah. Which is fun because, I mean, we can never recreate some of these little happy accidents that happen. So.
And as musicians, that must be great. I mean, knowing you're going to be doing this several nights in a row and knowing that you don't have to be exactly, you know, you don't have to memorize your lines so much as understand the piece.
Right. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's just a real pleasure to conjure up these spirits.
Before I forget, it was brought to my attention that as part of this idea of sort of like doing something for the community, you know, finding the right place and doing the right kind of material, you guys are also donating a portion of the tickets somewhere.
Yes,
tell me about that.
To the woundedwarriorsproject.com and actually .org. Christine could probably tell you more about it, but it is going to wounded veterans. Yeah, absolutely.
The Wounded Warrior Project is a project that supports wounded veterans when they get home. They have a variety of programs ranging from mental health even to physical health. Things as simple as providing veterans with a backpack that has things that can help them in everyday life. That's one of the biggest casualties is our veterans that come home and don't have resources and are damaged, not only physically but mentally. And so with this show, we wanted to support that by giving 10% of all ticket sales to the Wounded Warrior Project and to support our troops, to truly support our troops with cold, hard cash.
You sure you wouldn't rather just buy a bumper sticker? you know, it's really actually very, very good to hear somebody mention mental health as an injury in this war, because, you know, you never hear it on the major media. You know, people are coming home and with a lot of mental illness, and nobody's addressing that.
And the implications, I mean, reach far, far into the future. This is going to be affecting us, all of us, for a long, long time.
In a lot of cases, their symptoms don't develop until they've been home for 6 months.
Yeah,
you know, and they
exactly
can't shake their experience.
Right.
So it's good that there's an organization like that that's putting a focus on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you guys ready to do another song?
Yeah.
I think this is
what do you got next?
This is called The Trash Can Letter.
All right.
And this is for the holidays.
This is M.S. Garvey's Letters to the President with the Hootenanny All-Stars.
House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20502. December 5th, 2005. Dear Mr. Bush, I'm cleaning house. I'm going on a trip. I do a thorough house cleaning before I go, and I'm staring at the trash can by the desk. When I was a kid, I loved the trash can. I remember in fifth grade I asked for one for Christmas. My oldest brother, he had a Boston Celtics trash can. I wanted a Pittsburgh Steelers trash can. I knew that I was going to get it. It's a rather large and obvious thing to try and conceal. Man, I couldn't wait to see it on Christmas Day. Look into it. Get my hands on it. I was even anticipating the day after Christmas when I knew I was going to spend some time placing it in just the right spot in the bedroom I shared with my other brother. I had to put it right where everyone could see that I was a Pittsburgh Steeler fan with a Pittsburgh Steeler trash can. It looked great there. I couldn't wait to have some trash to put in it. A year or two before, the United States of America was in the middle of an inflation crisis. And my mother and my father suggested to all of us kids, instead of spending money on gifts and toys for one another, pet rocks and laughing machines, ganip ganop, sorry, don't break the ice, ants in the pants, Monopoly, why didn't we make one another gifts? I thought this was a pretty neat idea. My brother made for me a sailing ship out of an egg carton, pipe cleaners, straws, and I think toothpicks and popsicle sticks. I don't remember what he made the sails out of. Handy wipes, maybe. But anyway, one afternoon I was laying there on my bed, looking up at the shelf, and I saw it up there on the shelf next to all my models of World War II fighter planes and tanks. And it didn't look right there. In fact, it looked horrible. And I suddenly hated my brother's ship. I got up off the bed. I went to the shelf. I grabbed it off the shelf. I crumpled it in my hands and I threw it in my brand new shiny Christmas Pittsburgh Steelers trash can. Man, I like that can. Held onto it for a long time. My brother, he doesn't care. I never forgave myself. What about you, George? Any irrational acts like that that you regret doing to your brothers and sisters? And that's how we go. Merry Christmas. M.S. Garvey.
M.S. Garvey, true American hero.
I don't know about that.
So the website is Letters to the Prez, P-R-E-Z, and what can people, what will people find when they go there?
They will find a little explanation of the show. They will find features on the band or bios, pretty much everybody's history and interest, and
Social Security number,
how to file a Freedom of Information Act request.
And tell me about this this trailer you have on there. It's pretty cool.
The trailer is wonderful. Yes, they can click on the trailer, and that'll give them a great idea of the energy of the show. The trailer was created by the voice you're not hearing in the room. That's Christian, the other producer. And he is an editor here in town, and he put together an amazing, amazing little piece.
That's made up of clips of other performances of this
clips,
you've done?
Exactly. We have been very good about documenting, I think, every show except one. And so we have so much footage, and there was pretty much a lot to work with. And it's got elements of everything in there. Oh, you can buy tickets on the website, too.
Oh, that'd be useful. Yeah.
This is why producers are wonderful.
That's our reason for existing.
How is this performance at the Electric Lodge Theater different from the ones that you've done at other music venues and playhouses and such before?
It's different. Because it's in a theater, it'll be different in that I think it'll take on some different tones. In a gallery, I almost like to think of it as like a stadium voice. It's almost like declamatory. I almost feel like yelling. It's hard to fill the space of a gallery with the sound and have it land on people in a way that is pleasing.
And doesn't change the sentiment of your letters, too.
Yeah, exactly. And in a theater space, we're many different, just many facets, I suppose. We now have lighting. And we have a lighting designer coming in from Chicago. I have to plug Trapdoor Theater in Chicago. And their lighting designer's name is Richie Norwood. And he is coming in, and he is an amazing, amazing lighting designer. Last job that he did was, what's the theater in UCLA?
The Geffen.
He did the Mozart piece at the Geffen. Wow. So he's tremendous. And just the idea that he can bring so many moods just by a light change, and we can highlight these guys in different ways, and it's just the freedom of a theater is theatrical. We get to do some things that you probably wouldn't try to pull off in a gallery, or certainly in a place like the Lava Lounge.
Now, how many pieces have you written altogether? How many letters?
Total, it's 130 are sent. There's probably now 150 round. Since we started this project, I haven't sent any in a while, but there's a stack at home waiting to go out.
So you continue to write them even while you're doing this?
Yeah.
Do you see this play leading, this performance leading to, sort of a series of performances, if this goes off well?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be nice to be extended. I don't know of the realities of that, just because of the realities of what's happening in Electric Lodge. But, I think there's a possibility of something in January with somebody else that we've been kind of keeping in contact with, associated with.
I just mean because you continue to write these letters, so you'll have new material. You're going to want somebody to hear it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I know it's going to have to morph into something different probably in 2008, but we've taken care of that. We've introduced a Dear Democrats letter, and that actually could be the saddest letter of all.
It may be. It may be. God forbid they actually do something.
Exactly.
For the information of the audience, it's the Electric Lodge Theater is 1416 Electric Avenue in Venice, California. Free on-site parking. That'll get me anywhere.
Good.
It's good. Tickets are $20, and 10% is going to benefit wounded veterans. And again, go to Letters to the Prez. That's PREZ.com. You guys up for one more song?
I think so. B. This one is called B. Very simple. Thank you.
The White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20502. March 12th, 2007. Dear George, with very little thought, it's not difficult to see why we are the way we are. Why we see virtually everything as a threat. Everyone and every action of the everyday bee I see now mauling the white jasmine blooms at the height of their show. They are their very best right now, the jasmine flower. Pride never looked better. Back to the bee, I wonder why I didn't get a shock and jump back when I saw the hovering bee. And in that wonderment, I pondered why I didn't smack at the bee or spray the whole damn place with Raid. That's what I would have done as a kid. As a kid, I would have killed it with a baseball bat, smacked it right out of the air with a baseball bat. A mixed look of joy and repulsion on my face, thinking, I just conquered fear. I just conquered fear. A victory of good over bad. A victory of good over bad. Inside thinking to myself, I've got to talk to the president. This revelation could explain so much. But before I got there, I saw this one hovering bee moving from one flower to another with what looked like miniature saddlebags attached to the sides of the back rear legs. This must be the pollen, I figured. Look at that. Look at that. The efficiency, the economy, the grace, the second nature. Why did I ever think to swat at such a pretty thing? Why did I ever think to kill such a pretty, beautiful thing? I think to myself as I pour a coffee and go to turn down the music, a tickling feeling on my neck, down around the collar, down around the collar, down around my shirt, down around the tag on the back of my shirt, almost a bite or, I don't know, a sticky or a mini pinch or some kind of, it's a sting! Oh, it's a sting! Oh, what is it? What is it? It's a bee! It's a bee! It's gotta be a bee! What is it? It's a bee on my neck! What's on my neck? What's on my neck? It's a bee! was a hair snagged by a thread from the torn and tattered shirt, tickling the back of my neck as I turned my head to see if the bee was following me. I wanted to see if the bee was following me. I was scared that maybe the bee was following me. Wanted to see if the bee was following me, George. In March of 2007, it was reported that 70% of the entire bee population on the eastern seaboard turned up missing. Scientists put forth the idea, the theory, that quite possibly it could be a tone emitted by cell phones. And when that tone, that cell phone is near the beehive, it'll forever send the bee away, never again finding its hive. And they do not start over. Somewhere over the years, it was put forth that when we lose the bee population, human beings should give themselves 4 years to live. Suddenly, honey is not so funny.
Can I exhale now? Wow. I hope the seats at the Electric Lodge Theater are bolted to the floor, because otherwise you better have a contingency plan.
Well, I want to tape out a little spot on the stage. We'll call it the 2 minutes of chaos. Please come down and dance. Run down, do whatever you need to do.
I'm trying to work the board here, and at the same time I'm bobbing my head, my whole body is shaking and moving. It's quite a religious experience what you have going here.
Thank you.
That's M.S. Garvey's Letters to the President with the Hootenanny All-Stars, letterstothepres.com. That's Prez with a Z. It's Electric Lodge Theater, 1416 Electric Avenue in Venice, California. You open November 29th, so that's a week from Thanksgiving. And it's a two-weekend run, Thursdays through Saturdays, 8 p.m., Sundays at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And did I miss anything?
I'm not sure. Did he? Christine?
All right. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. You're wonderful. I'm looking forward to seeing the show and telling all my friends about it.
Yeah, please do. Come on out, everybody.
You've been listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. This will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood. So check it out. Stay tuned.